for our gospel reading.
The gospel can be found on page 984 in the Church Bibles, or page 1741 in the large print version. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus predicts his death. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You must not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We're standing for prayer. Lord, soften our hearts and minds. Help us to hear afresh your word. Help us to hear your call upon our lives. And help us to obey it. For Christ's sake, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. It probably helps keep your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 16. I read over summer about a woman who was a doctor who came back to the local hospital where she worked as a physician, and she had two young daughters at home. And as she went into the kitchen where the husband was helping care for them that afternoon, there was one of the daughters, and she had with her a stethoscope. And that was a real thrill to mother. She'd always rather secretly yearned that perhaps her daughter might follow her into that profession of medicine. And that was something which really got her excited. So she looked to see what the daughter was doing. Was she listening to her tummy gurgling? No. Was she checking if her heart was beating? No. And then she just watched from the door, and she suddenly saw the child putting what's meant to go into your ears down by her mouth and balancing the top of the stethoscope on her head. And the daughter's heard to say, "Welcome to McDonald's, may I take your order?" I love that story, drive through McDonald's with a child who's obviously picked that up and put a stethoscope on like she was taking the orders and getting it sent through from the kitchen. But the Lord Jesus wants us to follow in his footsteps. And he tells us about the costs and the benefits. And Christians and non-Christians can both be mistaken over what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Peter was recipient of one of the most strong rebukes in the Bible. And Jesus says to him, verse 23, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." If you look at Mark and Luke's account of this incident, it wasn't just the disciples. No, there was quite a crowd there. So this teaching was being heard not just by the disciples, but by many others as well. And what sort of Christ we have will shape what sort of Christian we are. Some people like an inclusive Christ who welcomes everyone and everything. Some people like a therapeutic Christ who deals with me and my felt needs. Other people like a prosperity Christ, one who can be a means to an end. Others just turn to God when they're in a mess, and they like their Christ to be a genie Christ. You rub the bottle, as it were, and your problem is sorted. Well, four times already in Matthew, Jesus Christ has been explaining what's going to happen to him as the Christ. We are this morning confronted with what it means to follow Jesus Christ, what it means to walk in his steps. First, disciples of Jesus are to deny him or herself. If you're a disciple, you're to deny yourself. That is to give up our own glory, our own pursuit of being top dog. Instead, to live for others and for the Lord. It's countercultural. I don't look at the adverts very carefully, but every now and then you spot adverts which make you aware that as they sort of advise about some sort of money investment or something you can do with your time, they're pandering to you. They're saying, in effect, you're the most important person in the world. Look after number one. But here the Christ must die and then live. Verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. But then, verse 27, the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. Then he'll reward each person according to what he's done. For Jesus, death leads to life and glory. There's no glory without the gall. There's no crown without the cross. The Christ must suffer and die because sin is so serious. God takes sin seriously. That's why Christ died, for my sin and for your sin. And yes, disciple is called to follow the Master and to deny him or herself. Second, a Christian or disciple must take up their own cross, take up his cross or her cross. Verse 24, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In Jesus' day, crucifixion was very common. And you and I can miss out very easily on its implications. I think in recent years, it's Mel Gibson's film, The Crucifixion of Christ, brought home something of a horror of crucifixion. What was involved? I was in Paris for one day. I was on holiday, went to look at a bit of art, and it's interesting just to see how Christ is depicted in various paintings. And I noticed in this massive art gallery in Paris that art since the Middle Ages has depicted the cross with tiny holes in the hands of Jesus, a tiny slit in his side. And in reality, the cross is sanitized. Or just think of any jeweler in our area. The cross they often have in their window or on display doesn't bring home what the cross is all about. The cross is horrible and bloody, and for Christ, it must be God forsaken. In 1968, in Jerusalem, an ostrich box, that is where you put bones, was dug up. And it was opened by the archaeologists. They found in that ostrich box an ankle. And through the ankle was a huge rusting nail. You see, the crucifixion wasn't just nails through the feet, it was through the ankle bone. Then hours of agony hanging there by hands tied or nailed above you. It was a shameful death. It was a public shaming. It was reserved for the worst of criminals. Now you may say, we've all got our crosses to carry. You know, a dodgy knee, or Aunt Agatha's coming to stay, whatever it is. But actually, what Jesus is saying here is pick up your noose. Carry your electric chair. Get onto the table, that lethal injection, as is used in some parts of America. And if you saw somebody carrying a cross in the Roman Empire, you would not see that person again. They would die. Well, may I ask you, have you died for and to yourself? Or are you living for yourself and your own ambitions? Jesus Christ, unlike so much of a small print in brochures and adverts, is it very clear? Nothing is hidden. The Christian faith is not about following rules, but following a person. And we're told to take up our cross and follow him. Friends, who are you following at work, in your business? Who are you going to be following at your university as a new term starts? Who will you follow at school? Who will you follow in your leisure? Yes, there is a cost to being a Christian, but also wonderful benefits as well. Then Jesus said to his disciples, anyone who would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And he goes on, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Jesus hates people living for themselves. That is what sin is. We ignore God and ignore others. And he longs that all of us should live for him and for others. Sin is a love of self, our own opinions, our own money, our own self, our own pleasures, our own career, our own rights. I've been thinking a bit about the spirit of the age. One of the extraordinary things in Paris, both in front of buildings and before some of the most famous paintings, there were literally lots of people of all nationalities with a selfie stick. Anybody here got a selfie stick? Just not castigating you. Anybody got a selfie stick? Tell me afterwards if you want me to admit it. But isn't it interesting that in our world, the selfie stick has become such a centre of people's attention? Myself at the centre of picture. What's a real sort of phone people want nowadays? Can you help me? I haven't got one of these, but what's a well-known phone? iPhone, brilliant, thank you very much. The answer I wanted. Interesting, it's called iPhone. You know, I, right at the centre. And it shows the drift of our world. But you know, I may not have an iPhone, but my heart is like that. I seek self, put myself at the centre. Well, the wonderful thing is that if we follow Christ, we find that in trying to save our life, we lose it. But actually, in losing it, we find true life. And in this, to serve the Lord, to see lives changed, is a wonderful thing. As we begin the new year, think about our new developments in church life. Can I say, where are you serving? Perhaps at a creche or Pathfinders, a youth group. Perhaps visiting the elderly. Perhaps helping on a Sunday, hand out service sheets, welcome people, coffee. Serve the Lord. Take up your cross. Deny him. I had at university to read John Calvin's Institutes, which a copy I had was just short of 2,000 pages. Quite a long book. There's deep, deep theology there. It's very clear. And of course, John Calvin had a massive effect on our old prayer book. Reformers were very struck by his biblical theology. Well, he said this towards the centre of the Institutes. I quote, "The sum of the Christian life is self-denial." Is that the sum of your Christian life, self-denial? Well, how might you catch a monkey? Let's change the subject a bit. How might you catch a monkey? Any ideas? Carefully, somebody said. I've eaten monkey once, actually, in Sierra Leone. And I sort of swallowed and ate it, and it wasn't too bad. But I'm told that one way to catch a monkey is to take a coconut, and you hollow it out. You attach a rope to the coconut, and in a small hole you put peanuts. And the monkey puts its hand in, and you then pull the monkey towards you, and you've caught it. Monkey excited by a few peanuts. But friends, we are excited so often in life by the peanuts, the mere peanuts of life, when there's something much bigger. What good, verse 26, will it be for a man if he gain the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Christ will return. What will his verdict be on your life? A welcome? Or will it be, depart from me, I don't know you? There's great encouragement here, you know, because the Lord knows what we're doing. I know there's people here who quietly and sacrificially serve in so many different ways. The Lord knows the sacrifice you're making, that taking up of the cross. Jim Elliot was a famous American missionary. He died on January 8, 1956, aged 28. He went to take the gospel to Harani people in Ecuador. And eventually they were able to get into the forest. They landed a plane on a sandbank in a river. But pretty quickly, the Indians there turned on him, and he was murdered. He was martyred. Just 6 months before that martyrdom, Jim Elliot had said to a large church gathering this sentence: "He is no fool to give up what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose." That's a challenge for everybody here in church. It's going to be a challenge for Abigail Jane one day. Will she put Christ first? Friends, the Christ you have will shape the Christian you'll be. Let's learn these lessons now, while we still have time and opportunity. Amen.